Summer is here, and I cannot wait to get rid of my sweaters and my jackets and say hello to some summer dresses, shorts, and tees. When it comes to updating my wardrobe for the summer, I always go to Quince. They've got a lineup of timeless pieces that keep me looking effortlessly chic year after year. For example, they have premium European linen dresses, blouses, and shorts from $30, washable silk tops, timeless 14-karat gold jewelry, and so much more. I have been in love with Quince as a brand for years. Not only are their materials high quality, but they are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Quince also is ethical. They only work with factories that are safe and responsible with their manufacturing practices while still maintaining the high quality and affordability that Quince is known for. Currently, I am obsessed and wearing their European linen line. I have these tanks and linen pants that I adore. And honestly, it's my outfit of the summer. I can't say enough good things about Quince and how they have updated my wardrobe and keep me looking good. Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/BGB for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/BGB to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/BGB. Welcome to the Black Girl Burnout Podcast. Kelly here. And today's guest is Dominique Broadway. I am so excited for this week's worth of content. And you are going to be too when you hear all of the information that Dominique has for you. Dominique is a visionary when it comes to the world of financial literacy. And she's now a best-selling author with her book, The Wealth Decision. She's relentlessly committed to making wealth a reality for us all. She's vibrant and engaging in her approach to personal finance, and she makes even the most complex topics like investing feel digestible, possible, and even trendy. She is the founder of Finances Demystified. This is where Dominique's passion for financial education is integrated into a platform where she works with young professionals, entrepreneurs, and people from all walks of life with the intent of turning their dreams into a reality. She has a passion for this work that is backed by an extensive history of both learning and teaching personal finance. Dominique's coming out of some of the most esteemed brokerage firms like UBS and Edelman, and yet she's left that all behind for her current mission, which is to democratize personal finance and investing knowledge typically confined within Wall Street and make it accessible for everyone. You are going to love this week with Dominique as she gives us information about investing, how to have a joyful, wealthy life. And in today's episode, we talk all about the myths that keep us as Black women stuck in financial struggle. Let's jump into this powerful conversation with Dominique Broadway. For a long time, I've been around. Dominique, I'm so excited to have this conversation with you. We are going to jump right in because there's so much ground to cover. And I want to start with the purpose and one of the foundations of this podcast is the concept of opting out of struggle. And immediately when you think of struggle, there's a couple of areas in life that pop up where people struggle and have pain points. And one of them is finances. And so for you, what I want to talk to you about is, because that's such a big stressor for so many people, what kind of myths in your work have you seen that we can start even with that you've bought into about financial stability and finances? But what do you see, particularly Black women? What are some common faulty beliefs around finances that you see that come up repeatedly with Black women?
Oh man, there are so many, Kelly. I think one of the most interesting ones that I didn't realize was going to be a thing, but a lot of Black women specifically feel like they will wait or tend to wait to take their finances seriously until they hit the age 30. And it's such an interesting thing when I would work with clients one-on-one and I'm like, oh, why did you decide to, you know, take control of your finances now? And they're like, oh, well, you know, I'm turning 30, so I feel it's a good time. And I think that, yes, that's great that they're taking that step. But I feel, especially as Black women, but people in general, the earlier you start, the better. Right. And so, like, you know, for my children, they're starting as soon as a day old, really before that, even at the when we know that we're having a child, I only have two children, but when we know, like, OK, this is when we're going to start actually planning for them financially. And I think a lot of people are doing themselves a huge disservice by waiting until later or feeling like they have to wait until they're 30 or wait until they're 40 to finally take charge of their finances, because the earlier you start, you can leverage all of that time, right? And the later you start, you have less time, as simple as that. So that's one of the biggest, like, things or myths that I've seen very frequently, more frequently than I would have ever imagined, especially from Black women feeling like it's something that they have to wait and do. I think another one is just this whole cycle that you have to have certain things to be happy, to be wealthy, to be accomplished, to be successful. And I hate when I see women who are saying, like, oh, you know, I haven't bought a home yet, so I don't feel successful, or I haven't, you know, saved X amount of dollars, you know, so I don't feel sick. I don't feel successful. And I think that these are things that society and even governmentally, it's like, oh, you have to do things this way. And if you don't do them this way, if you're not married by this age, or if you don't have these things by a certain time, you're not, you know, necessarily accomplished. And I hate to see those things. I think another is definitely people just trying to keep up with each other. It's the most frustrating thing that I've been seeing most recently. And then these myths that you have to keep up with other people. And if you see one of your friends traveling to one place, you're like, oh, well, I need to go there too. Or you don't even know how they paid for that. So those are some of the things that I probably see most frequently that I feel like are keeping Black women stressed and honestly, just financially stuck.
I just finished listening to Black Stories, Black Truths episode with Michelle Obama, and it was so inspirational and educational. Ms. Obama dropped so much knowledge about friendships, relationships, career. It truly was an impactful episode that I think you all will enjoy. And if you're interested in hearing more stories like this, you have to check out NPR Podcasts. NPR has a new collection of podcast episodes specifically celebrating the Black experience. In Black Stories, Black Truths, this collection by NPR, you're going to hear stories of joy and resilience, empowerment, and creating world-shifting things out of struggle. Every episode is a living account about what it means to be Black today, told from a unique Black perspective. From Megan Thee Stallion to the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, to Michelle Obama, like I said, to the women behind the Montgomery bus boycott. There's no limit to the range of NPR. Listen to Black Stories, Black Truths from NPR wherever you get podcasts.
Yes, I really agree. And you really went over a couple of them that kind of blend together, right? So this belief that there you have to wait to a certain age and that age is older than probably typically, and particularly when we're looking at, you know, white folks. Yeah. And when they start from childhood.
Early.
And they already know, like, I remember being like a freshman in college and some white guy telling me about a 401k. And I'm like, I have never heard of that. What are those numbers? And he was like, you need an IRA Roth. Excuse me. I can't even say it right. And I mean, being like, what? That just sounded like another language, but that kind of thing. So waiting to be too late. But then it's like, you also have this balance of, well, what happened if you're listening right now and you're like, well, I'm 35, I'm 42. I haven't done my finances. Is it too late? And then debunking the myth, that second component of there is no specific one size fits all, right? It's like there are things you can do. It's never too late. You've never missed the boat. There's just, it's better earlier. And then finally, I think it really is important that we talk about certain things have become an aesthetic or a look versus the reality.
Yeah.
You know, for me in the wellness space, wellness has become a look versus a reality, a practice. And the same thing can be said for wealth, richness, finances. Yeah. It has an aesthetic. And what do we associate particularly in our community with wealth? People traveling, you see somebody on flying, you know, business class to Dubai. You're like, well, they must be wealthy. Yeah. Or if I am wealthy, this is the life I need to have. This is the car I need to have to demonstrate that I have wealth. Mm-hmm. And yet we know people who tend to be really wealthy actually do the opposite. You'll see them in cars that are not, they've got like a beater car, right? That they drive to and fro. They wait to do vacations, or they only do one or two a year. And so based upon those myths, then how would you help people overcome them? Like, what are some of the tips you could begin to help a Black woman saying, I don't even know where to start. And I believe all of this. Like, I believe all the lies. Like, I missed the boat. I think I should be traveling. Like, how would you, where would you tell someone to start to overcome that pain point?
Yeah, no, that's really good. So where to start? I think it's really important for you to understand what your why, what your specific why is in life and in general. And why is it that you even want to build wealth? Why is it that you want to travel? Why is it that you want to do these quote unquote things that you feel like you just have to do? Because for some people, they're like, you know, these things really don't matter to me. I just feel like I need to do them because everyone else is doing them. So I think it's important to really take some time and sit down, like, what is my why? And also, what makes me happy? Right. And I think I know even as I like started to grow my wealth over time and eventually becoming a millionaire, there were certain things that I just thought, like, once I got to certain points, it would just give me peak happiness. You know, it's like, once I have $1 million, I'm going to be super, super happy. And remember getting there and being like, okay, this isn't where's all this extra happiness that's supposed to come. Right. So I think that you really have to sit down and honestly dig into yourself and say, like, okay, if I close my eyes right now, like, what would my ideal life look like? You know, I have some friends who are millionaires and they live in a lovely home, but they may not, like, even actually, I don't even own a car right now. I had a G-Wagon last year, you know, and I still own homes. I'm still very wealthy, still a multimillionaire, but I sold my car last year. I was headed to Europe for the summer. I'm like, this car sits all the time. So sometimes I laugh at myself. I'm like, wow, I never thought that I would be like multimillionaire. I don't even have a car right now, right? By choice, you know? Because I realized that, yes, the G-Wagon was my dream car, but it was literally just sitting. It was ending up just, it was a waste of money, right? And so that's why I think you have to sometimes literally sit down and say, okay, one, what is my why? And when do I feel most happiest, right? I have to say I am most happiest in an airplane. I love traveling. I like
me to be as well.
Business. Yes, I love to be in business class, but economy is good too. If I got a little extra room space and I know it's going to get me to the destination. So I think that's one of the things that you can do when you're trying to feel like you have to keep up with everyone. Because like I said, a lot of people are doing things that literally aren't bringing them any happiness. They just feel like they're doing it because they need to. So I would say, sit down and honestly think about, what is your why? Why are you even doing all these things? Why are you chasing certain things, et cetera, et cetera? And then what are those moments when you have that peak level of happiness? And you'd probably be very surprised. It's not the things that you think. Outside of that, based on your other question, you know, one, it's definitely never too late. It is never, ever too late. If you're starting, we have some people, actually some students in our program, we saw them recently in Miami, and she's like, am I one of your oldest students? And she was 75. And I'm like, no, our oldest is actually like 82. And so it's funny because, and they're honestly some of the better investors because they're not as greedy sometimes as the younger people. But it also just shows that, no, it's never too late. I also like, always like to tell the story of, you know, KFC. I think he started trying to sell his chicken recipe when he's like 75 years old. Now, no matter where you go in the world, you see a KFC. Imagine if he said, oh my gosh, I'm too late to do this. I'm too old, quote unquote, to do this. So you're never too old, but I do think it's never too old and it's never too late. The key thing is to have a plan, right? So sitting down and figuring out like, okay, this is where I am right now. This is currently where my assets are. This is where I would like to be. What do I need to do in the middle to bridge that gap to get there? And I think that, you know, all things are figure outable, as they say, and you can figure out a plan to reach that goal. You may have to, you know, save a little bit more or invest a little bit more than maybe someone that's, you know, 20 years your junior, but trust me, it is very, very, very possible. So
I think that's so important because the it starts with that why. You know, mm-hmm. I realize some of the things that we have gotten stuck to are things like a dollar amount or like you said, a car as a status. Mm-hmm. And one of the things there's two things that came to mind as you're talking to me. One is I have reframed budgeting to I talk about budgeting with joy. Like it's joy has to be a component of that. Like my life is about joy. And because of that, that changes what my priorities are and what my financial goals may be next to somebody else's. And the other thing that I did that was really powerful is I did an exercise where it was like, write down everything you'd want in your dream life and calculate what that would cost.
Yep.
And I tell people to do this because people get obsessed with, I need to be a six-figure earner. I need to be a millionaire. But that may not match your actual lifestyle of what you want. You might just need to make $600,000 a year. And that might be the magic number that gets you where you want to be. You might live in a rural small town and $95,000 a year is going to get you invested, get you traveling, get you do all those things. Mm-hmm. And that's the part we miss. We go for these like one size fits all kind of ideas. And in doing that, we miss out on one joy because we're comparing ourselves. Now I need to be a multimillionaire and I need a G-Wagon. I just heard you say G-Wagon. I need to have one too to be somebody or to feel like I arrived, right? And we miss out on tailoring, actually achieving the goal. Like you could be a millionaire and you're like, but now I have to, like for me, I tell people all the time, this isn't, there's nothing against millionaire status. Mm. I don't ever want to have full-time staff.
Mm.
Part of getting to a millionaire status may mean you have staff, you have employees, and that's not bad. That's most of the time. I've never met a millionaire that didn't have staff. And I'm like, I'm trying to be a solopreneur for life.
Yeah.
I love leading. I don't like managing and I don't want a staff. That changes what my wealth picture is. It doesn't change that I need to invest. It doesn't change that I need a budget. It doesn't change that I need to know my why, but it changes how I get there. Yeah. And I think we need to spend a lot of more time emphasizing that versus saying, sign up and do X, Y, Z. And I'm going to guarantee you, you'll get the G-Wagon that you always wanted.
And I also think that, you know, it, like you're saying, I think that's major, just figuring out what do you want your life to look like and what you're really good at. Right. So I will tell you one of the things that I used to like, oh my gosh, I want to be a solopreneur forever as well. But once I started hitting certain heights in my business and hiring, I probably didn't hire my first full-time person until I made my first like $4.5 million, right? That's how much I was like, I'm only gonna be a solopreneur. And I did that in 8 months, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, but after a while, as things are growing outside of just the growth, it was the impact that I saw that I was having. I think the other issue sometimes is that Black women tend to think too small, right? And I feel like I was almost putting myself in a box because most of my experience was with solopreneurs. My mom was a solopreneur. My dad was a solopreneur, right? And like I said, there's nothing wrong with it. Once I also started to get exposed to others, to my colleagues now and friends now who were thinking even bigger and getting exposed to those things, I'm like, okay, I can do this in a way where it can still be a lot less stress. Honestly, I'm probably way less stressed now with employees than when I was a solopreneur because as a solopreneur, it's just me and one other person, right? And I realized one of the things I was not good at was managing people. So my first hire was a chief of staff because I need someone that can manage people. And so my thing is, well, if I want to reach this level of impact, and I knew that I could not reach that level of impact that we have now as solopreneur, it wasn't possible.
Yeah.
And because impact was my bigger why, I had to level it up, right? And so that's also why I go back to like, what is your why? Because if your impact, and there's honestly, if you're trying to impact one or two, ain't nothing wrong with it. That is still great, right? And there's tons of people I know that have seven-figure year businesses that are solopreneurs. But some business can be a little bit more intricate than others, et cetera, et cetera. But I think that it goes back to what is that why and what makes you happy and like designing your own lifestyle, which has been a big, big, big thing for me. You know, I caught a lot of slack when I'm from the DC area originally and I left and moved to Houston and then LA, and I traveled the world for like 6 to 8 months with my now husband. And now I live full time in Miami, and people are like, well, why would you move away from your family? And why would you do these things? Right. And so I think I wanted to design my lifestyle the way I wanted it to be. I want to see water every single day. Right. And not that they're the DC water. I wanted to see really great ocean water. That was something that was really important for me because it brightens my day. And so that's why, going back to that, why that lifestyle design, we can design our lifestyles however we want. If you want to pick up, move to Costa Rica and live in a super cute house that only costs $1,500 a month, and you do yoga every day, girl, do it. But I think that it's important to figure out what is that why when it comes to your finances, because for most people, they're not happy. They're literally walking around 10 seconds from like someone saying one keyword and they're going to break down and just cry. Right. Yeah. And how do you fix that? Right. You fix that by taking the time and saying, I don't have to feel like I need to do things the way that society says that I need to do them. I'm going to figure out how to design my life, design my finances to support the lifestyle that makes me happy, that gives me, that optimizes myself, that optimizes my health, that optimizes all those areas. And I think that that is one of the most important decisions. And then my book is The Wealth Decision, but one of the most important decisions that you can make when it comes to your finances, but most importantly, to managing your own life, because it's your life. You could do whatever you want to do with it. And that's been major for me, you know?
I agree. And I think, you know, as we're going to get into this more as we transition into talking about investing, but I think that is the point. It is the why. There is no wrong answer. It's just not knowing what your why is. Yeah. And that's why it's so important to know that, know if you're looking for impact, do reverse engineering, like what's your dream life? What does that cost? I think that was the most, for me, that was the most powerful opener, because it set financial goals for me that made me say, okay. And then, you know, if that changes and I need employees down the road, okay, well then that changes the conversation. Yep. But if
it's
don't,
okay.
Because it's okay. Right. And if it doesn't, if I can do what I'm doing and it works and I get, like you said, you need to be by the water. Someone may need a $1,500 condo and yoga every day. That is a very different life path, but it has to be based upon what you want. So I think that is one of the key takeaways about opting out of struggle with finances is knowing your why and being willing to dig deep to get it. I think that's the key part, not just superficially going, oh, I think I like yoga. No, dig deep to get that why. So thank you, Dominique. We're already off to a fantastic start. When we come back, I want to talk about investing, how we get started, what you would suggest for us, how we start to make that wealth decision, and how investing is a part of that.
So that's it for today's episode. Here are a few ways where you can support this podcast. First things first, if you haven't, subscribe and follow the podcast. We're streaming on all major platforms. That's Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, just to name a few. Subscribe and get each new episode as it drops. Secondly, subscribe to the newsletter. We have a monthly newsletter that is chock full of goodness and updates, as well as first access to all the giveaways we do here at Black Girl Burnout. Are you following us on our socials? If not, what are you waiting for? You can find us on Instagram and TikTok at Black Girl Burnout and on Twitter at BLK Girl Burnout. Last but not least, make our day and leave a review. Your 5 stars truly give me and the team so much energy, and we appreciate you so much. Until we speak next, take care of yourself and take care of each other.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.